Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. With your host, Dan Rennie.
Yeah, good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before we begin, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where our program is broadcast here in the West End of Brisbane. I'd also like to pay my respects to all the TOs right around the country where our program goes through the National Indigenous Radio Service. And, of course, we stream online as well, 989fm.com.au. I'd also like to acknowledge elders past and present. Well, it's been a month, nearly at the end of it. The 29th of January, of course, Invasion Day was earlier in the week and there were lots of events right around the country, including right here in Brisbane. To talk about that and plenty more is our CEO, Jai Lawton. Welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Your mob, your country.
Yeah, I'm from Bidjara country in central Queensland there, but been down Brisbane way now for 13 odd years.
You call yourself a Brisbane lad now, or Rocky's always home?
Yeah, it's probably, you know, I'm out of Ipswich, so, yeah, probably it's heading that way.
And I'd also like to welcome to the program a deadly brother of ours from down south. We don't hold that against him, though. Danny Tease Johnson.
Here we go.
How are you, brother?
Not even origin time yet, you're already starting.
Yeah, well, you know, we are the current State of Origin champions, but we'll leave that for now. Danny, I want to thank you, first of all, for teaming up with Rhianna Patrick for our original 100 top 10. We're going to get to that a little bit later. But first, we wanted to sort of talk about the some of the events leading up to Invasion Day and, of course, the rally here in Brisbane as well. Jai, you had some thoughts on the day itself.
Yeah, look, I'm usually in Rocky, actually, for this day. It's been the first march I've been to in a long time since... Yeah, so usually in Rocky and we have there's a footy carnival happen up there with all the mob put aside in and didn't go ahead this year. So joined the march. And look, I think what a lot of people don't see is behind the scenes, the level of coordination involved, you know, in mobilising 10,000 people safely during a global pandemic, which is, you know, it's a great achievement. You know, the depth of planning involved, you know, from the COVID safe plans, the food, the marketing, the marshals, all that sort of stuff that goes into this, you know, with little to no funding is, you know, it's no small feat. So I think that's sort of first and foremost the thing that, yeah, that you know, and we play a role in that as well here at the station as well. I think, look, there's work to be done in the messaging and how the message is delivered, particularly given the amount of work that's been done when there's a captured audience there. And, you know, for mine, I think we need to strategise not only locally but across the country to, you know, really ensure that the objective is clear, the message is clear, and it's delivered in a concise and respectful manner. And I think that's where we, you know, to be critical, I think that's where we fall short.
Yep.
I think the
end game needs to be identified. And you work your way backwards from there in steps and stages. And like you say, that captured audience that was there, I would say, you know, more than half were non-Indigenous. And they were there for, you know, support and you know, allyship. And sometimes that message can get lost in, you know, screaming and yelling and putting people down.
Certainly. And it's an emotional day, you know. It's an emotional time. And, yeah, I think we just got to... We need to be a bit smarter in terms of how we deliver that message. But, you know, and as, you know, Senator Melindira McCarthy said recently, you know, as a democracy, look, you know, we create change by walking the streets, by showing that we don't believe in a particular system. And it's very much where we're sitting here today. It was built on protest and how we do that. And you know, for me, you know, and I've had some conversations recently with elders, and I've had some really unfortunate phone calls from them, you know, around contacting me and just expressing a bit of disappointment in the, you know, the vile language and yes, how that message was portrayed. And I think that's, and you know, these are elders that grew up in institutions, in missions, that have every reason to have hate in their heart. And I think that's when they're putting that message to us, I think then we have an obligation to put that out and say, look, let's have a conversation behind closed doors, and let's really understand what the end game is and what the message is and how that message can best be delivered, so that all of that work that we do leading up, the level of coordination involved, the captured audience that we get, there's a really clear outcome in the end, and we portray that in a really respectful way. And I think that's where we've got to land to. That's the work to be done. Otherwise, it's an opportunity missed.
Danny Tease Johnson from the Koori Mail. Brother, you mob your country.
Very proud Moree boy. Shout out to all my family out there. I love you like nothing else on this earth. Gomoroi boy and journalist here at the Koori Mail. Very, very lucky to be able to work here at the Koori Mail. Such a, you know, special year.
Now, I'm going to get to the top 10 in just a little bit, but your thoughts in the lead up to Invasion Day and the day itself.
Oh, no, look, I was pretty pumped. You know, it's always a very draining couple of weeks for us. You know, as soon as Christmas Day ends, we know that Invasion Day is coming and the whole palaver around it. I think we're pretty good on our messaging. I think because we're so diverse in our communities, you know, so many different nations and tribes, I think sometimes that message is very individual, very local, and then there's national messages and state messages that go out. But I think what the mainstream media tries to do is they try and stamp all over our messages. They try to muddy the waters with our messages, and I think that sort of stirs people up a lot more when you lead up to it. Like, you know, they give that stupid Andrew Lamming, you know, he's trying to creep into my DMs there, if you're listening to Andrew Lamming, the federal MP.
Blocking.
Coming out, you've seen cars, I've got those screenshots, are coming. but, you know, I think all that sort of hype that leads up to it, and the mainstream media will just try and mix all those messages, different stupid headlines and, you know, misquoting blackfellas, taking people out of context. And so that's always that very exhausting mental sort of, you know, circumference, like stuff that goes around Invasion Day. But in saying all of that, you know, I was really inspired by, this is my first Invasion Day up in Brisbane. And a lot of our, Moree mob and Gomoroi mob head up there. So that was really inspiring to see a lot of my family up there as well. But yeah, I just thought, just the way that, you know, Bo Spearham, Ruby Wharton, Larissa Baldwin, all these young black fellas up there, and they've been doing it for years, but absolutely for years. The way they plot, plan, organise, mobilise and strategise just blew me away. You know, I walked in that hall and I saw, you know, hundreds and hundreds of volunteers making sandwiches and food and just organising the day. Like, I was just so taken aback by it. It's just such a, you know, clever and smart move by, you know. And I've been talking about Bo a lot because I just think, you know, the matriarchs have got a lot of strong women and leaders and mentors they look up to, but I think on our patriarchal side, we don't have enough of that. So I just really want to give props to Bo and other young male leaders out there just really doing some special work in communities. And, you know, I call him the Killer Mike of Brisbane because he's just doing some great stuff. And he has been doing it for years. So shout out to you, Bo, Ruby and Larissa and everyone who put that together. I was just blown away.
What do you think of the turnout on the day and looking around the crowd? I'm no good at picking crowds, numbers and things like that. But looking at some of the photos that you took, Danny, and yep, others, I'm guessing between 10 and 15,000. And as I said earlier, for the most part, I think probably a split down the middle of non-Indigenous and our mob.
Yeah, I think there was 10 to 15 easy. I think some of the politicians would say a cap of $5,000 figure for legal purposes, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But it was easy 10 or 15, mate. I stood up in that bridge and filmed it coming across, and that was thick and deep, and you know, it took them half an hour at least to get this across the bridge. So, you know, just the energy and, you know, the scene, that flag getting draped, you know, down the street, such a powerful image of pride and, you know, solidarity. Because mostly was the white fellas there holding all the flags. So, And I think you're right. I actually think there was more white fellas than black fellas, which I think is great. And when I say white fellas too, you got to think about the demographic. So, you know, there's lots of, you know, Asian mob, lots of Indian mob, you know, lots of refugee mob there supporting us, lots of Indian mob. So I think, yeah, there's different people from all sort of multicultural Australia, white Australia coming together because they just see this day as total, like a gammonous day in our history, right? So, you know, people don't want to celebrate a massacre. That's what I was seeing in the last 5 years, particularly, I believe, more and more people from all walks of life coming to our Invasion Day events.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think there's a tipping point, you know, that's currently happening in this country. You know, I think we've seen through a number of forums, you know, like you know, the non-Indigenous mob also helping to do some of the heavy lifting in this regard too. You know, we saw the Australian of the Year award, you know, Sister Girl got up there and said, you know, this date's not not reflective of what we should be celebrating and all those sorts of things. So there is a real tipping point. And that's to my point, you know, around making sure that we are respectful in those yarns and not letting the emotion of the day get to us and not yelling and screaming and carrying on too much, because then it will drive those mob away. You know what I mean?
Me and Dan were talking about this the other day, actually, because, Dan, you go and jump on the Today Show, and we were talking about how I couldn't do that because I'm too emotional. I know what I'm like. And if them white fellas get on TV and stir me up, you know, I'm just going to get up and try and be a Maori boy. You know?
The Maori mission coming out.
But, you know, it doesn't take much, mate. But Dan, you have a great way of sort of talking to them and putting it back on them, their questions, you know, and you're doing that well. So we need people, black boys, more walks of life and being really articulate and diffusing those emotional moments and be able to sort of answer correctly and put it back on them. And I think there's a real space for that, and you do that quite well, Dan. And I know my limitations as a black fellow, you know, I get too angry too quickly. So, you know, I look for other people to do that, and I come in and, you know, where I excel. So I think it's a really sort of, yeah, important discussion to have.
All right, if you're just joining us, we're dissecting Invasion Day. It was, of course, this week on Tuesday, the 26th. Jai Lawton, CEO of Brisbane Indigenous Media Association, is with us, and Danny Tees Johnson from the Courier Mail. Look, I think you mentioned it before, Jai. Things are starting to change in this country, and you see it in the way that mainstream media are reporting things, in particular. When I watch back the news from Invasion Day, they were very, a lot of the time, for the most part, you know, it's a peaceful protest, you know, these types of things. And they would typically in the past would focus on the, you know, a small negative thing that might have happened. But I saw, you know, the pictures were, for the most part, respectful. They were calling it a peaceful protest. They were saying Invasion Day. And, you know, 5 years ago, you wouldn't have seen that.
Yeah, and, you know, it's turning, and it has to. You know, it can't keep going in the same direction. We come together on these days to march for the injustices that happen to our people, and, you know, they're still occurring. And so we need to, you know, we need to keep continuing that message and do it in that way. And, you know, I think it is tipping. I think, you know, we looked at the, you know, as a country music, Murray Country radio station here, you know, we saw the Golden Guitars the other weekend, and we saw, you know, Luke O'Shea team up with Kevin Bennett there about Happy Australia Day, a song that was a really, really powerful truth-telling song. And for those out there that haven't heard it or haven't listened to it or haven't looked at the film clip, definitely check it out, because it's, you know, it's a really, really truthful telling of our history. And that picked up a golden guitar, you know, and that, you know, country music isn't historically a safe place for black fellas to be in, you know.
Look at Troy,
you know, exactly. And so the fact that, you know, even that industry in a very hard space for blackfellas to crack, in Tamworth being a very, very rough place for blackfellas as well, you know, it's the fact that that's been awarded.
Redneck heaven.
What's that? Sorry, brother?
That's a redneck heaven out there.
That's,
you know,
right. Yeah. And he did. And you know, and the fact that, you know, Luke and Kevin performed that song live on stage, in front of that crowd, you know, some of them bush ballad mob would have been listening and feeling uncomfortable, which is good, because it's an uncomfortable truth that we have to go through. So, you know, I think there is the tide's turning. There's a swell happening, and it's coming at rapid knots, which is why we have to be very, very strategic, I think, of how we move forward.
Now, you mentioned Troy Cassidaly. His song Shadows on the Hill kicked off the top 10, but he was trolled on Invasion Day as well, and I made a comment on his post there that I can guarantee you 100% this isn't the first time. You know, Troy typically would probably ignore it, but he called it out and put it out there for everyone to see that, hey, this is one of the top country music artists, or if not artists, in Australia, and he has to deal with that abuse because he comes out and says, he, you know, what the day means to him. Danny, you showed me the, I had seen it before, but watching it again, The Shadows on the Hill live from the Golden Guitar Awards. That put shivers, the hairs on my arm stand up right now. But
I've got a bow.
No. Yeah.
because, you know, for me, I come from that area, right? Tamworth and Moree, you know, the heart of country out there. I come from these areas, and there's been a lot of blood spilt from our people, by the country music people, you know, and the farmers and all the agriculturalists and all this. So we recognise that real dark history out there. And to see Aboriginal dancers just cutting through all these 10-gallon hats in the Country Music Awards, shaking these people, while Troy's up there singing this truth-telling historical song, it was one of the most poignant moments of the country music's, you know, 30-year history or whatever it is, you know, because, you know, that was truth-telling up there. And Troy just didn't sing a song. He told a story about massacres and about people dying. And then these beautiful dancers just come through. It was one of the most beautiful, like, powerful things I've ever seen. You know, I get goosebumps just talking about it, listening to myself talking about it. But, you know, to do that and to cut through such a, you know, these are the hardest sort of industries to sort of, I guess, get acknowledgement and to understanding and truth-telling, you know. I don't like hearing this sort of stuff that's come to the country music mob. So, you know, what he's done, and I guess what 98.9 does as well, like pushing out these songs and stories, it's just it's how we're changing the nation one day at a time, you know.
Jai, any final thoughts on Invasion Day?
No, look, I think, you know, yeah, summed it all up. We just need to, you know, particularly in Brisbane, we've lost a lot of the older mob coming through, and you know, that's always going to be the case. We look at, you know, football teams that lose experienced players and young fellas come through. There's always a transition period there. So I think we just need to, you know, respect those elders in terms of how those messages are delivered, so that we can build on the really, really deadly important work and the really deadly important planning and coordination and all the hard work that goes into it, that, you know, that all the mob meant that Danny mentioned, it can come to fruition to its full potential. And I think that's the message for me.
Thanks very much for joining us, Jai.
Cheers, bro.
All right, Danny, stay with us because I want to talk about the OG 100. Of course, the top 10, we're going to play it in its entirety, but... You mentioned Andrew Lamming there, and I also wanted to discuss some of the things that ScoMo decides that he likes to get involved in. We'll come back and yarn about that in just a moment. You're on Let's Talk. You're on 98.9 FM.
Versus Indians, white man versus savages is what I was shown on TV. I knew more about the world wars, the Zulu and the Navajo, than I did of my own history. Yes, but as you begin to uncover the sin, you can feel your heart drowning in shame. It all starts with a lie we no longer deny. It's time we all knew your So Pemaway, are you still fighting? When denied, your song we shall sing. For all your senseless suffering, Shoganetti didn't mean anything. For every chain that has bound you, for every child stolen away, when the river still runs from the same. placing blame in the fear. And what we must learn first, we are better than our worst, and respect for each other starts here. So why celebrate this great nation on a day that insults and divides? For regardless of where, will we all love this land, find a way where we stand unified? Charlie Perkins, I'll stand beside you. Uncle Jimmy, your song I shall sing. And for all your selfless suffering, Mum Shaw, I feel
And thanks for your company this morning. Joining me is Danny Teese Johnson from the Courier Mail. Brother Danny, thanks for your time once again, not only today, but on Invasion Day for our original 100 top 10. You and Rihanna absolutely killed it, brother.
Nah, too easy, bro. Don't think me, man. Think our halfback, Naomi Moran, who runs the Courier Mail here. Just a great partnership between 98.9 Indigenous X and... you know, the Courier Mail and any other black independent media mob out there, you know, like, let's just all get together and just smash it out for our families and our communities, you know, because that's what it's all about.
Now, I wanted to talk about I call him the so-called leader of this country, Scott Morrison. He's, it's funny the things that he picks to attack, and it usually involves black fellas. We saw him when the anthem was going to be scrapped from the Origin. He came out, pulled rank there. We also saw him have a go at Cricket Australia for them making a stand about removing Australia Day from all their promotions and calling it Jan 26, which was strange. I thought that he'd come out and tell them to stick to playing cricket. You'd think that ScoMo was a sports administrator himself. He should probably stick to just running the country.
He used cricket as a... to get away from the bushfires last year, the clown.
He did. And you know, when I say he should focus on running the country, that includes keeping his own in order as well. Andrew Lamming, MP, came out and said this in the lead-up to Invasion Day: deny it's Australia Day, that'll help petrol sniffing and school attendance in remote Australia. And there was silence from ScoMo, no repercussions for Lamming. What's doing there?
I think it's part of what I said before. It's just these comments are to disrupt our day and to appease the colonists and the patriots that see this in the Australian flag as such a symbol of hope and you know, the lucky country mentality, which is total bullshit. But, you know, I just think, you know, these stupid comments that comes out, it's just to distract from the truth-telling of the day and the real history of this country. And a lot of people fall for it, which is quite sad. You know, in some of our own, because, you know, we just shouldn't bite. But that clown, and you are a clown, Andrew Lamming MP, he was inboxing me on Facebook Messenger. And I think he still thinks I work at NITV, so he's trying to get on to onto journalists to, like, have his say around how, in calling it Invasion Day in Australia Day is such a divisive day, and that we should just join his party and just all get along. And I just had such fun with him. So I'll release these screenshots on Twitter at some point.
Please do.
When I'm feeling like a bit of a laugh. But this is how desperate these clowns are, right? But what gets my goat, right, is that when this stuff gets said, now, I don't expect our community leaders to come out and say anything because it's just too exhausting and tiring. Like, just don't bite half the time. But if you're sitting in Parliament House and you're a black fella, come out and say something, especially if you're like Ken Wyatt. You know, what's he doing? What's he thinking? You know, it's left the Malandiri to come out and say some stuff. What's Albanese saying as the opposition leader, you know? I expect little Trump Jr. Scott Morrison to say all this rhetoric and to spew this sort of racist rhetoric and this very colonial, lucky country jingoism mentality, right? I expect it. It's almost like he's got a comedian writer writing for him. But I can't believe that the opposition just sits there and, you know, especially.
It doesn't win votes, Danny.
Yeah, no. Like, anyone, you don't even know who Anthony Albanese is.
No.
He's what Paul Keating describes as a warm piece of lettuce, which is an absolute flake of a leader, right?
Mm.
It's a term described as the most flakiest of politicians ever.
Yep.
Like, he has no personality, he has no say. So Morrison's just going to roll through the next election. And it's like they haven't, it's like, I'm wondering, are they orchestrating this? Like,
well, I'd love to see Penny Wong put forward, but she'll never get a shot because this country's racist and they see her as a foreigner. Anyway, yeah. You'll give us something.
Bit too confronting in the Australian public to have an Asian lesbian the Prime Minister. That'd be a bit too much too soon, I think, for Australia.
Yeah, no, we're a long way off of that. Danny, we saw the opposite. With Zali Steggles, who came out and said, you know, she had a few thoughts on Invasion Day and made them public, and the opposite happened to her. She was called out, and she was this, that, and the other. So we can clearly see the racism that exists in Australian politics when Zali Steggles makes a comment, and
but it's trickle down racism, Dan. This comes from the Prime Minister and from Barnaby Joyce and these cronies, right? They dribble this spew every year, right? And it drips into the Australian society and the public, you know, all the bottom feeders pick it up and they just spew the same rhetoric. So it's just, you know, Australia's such numpties when it comes to, you know, just truth-telling and just accepting what is. But because our Prime Minister and the Liberal Party send such a strong patriotic message around you know, the Australian flag and Australia Day and, you know, what it is to them, just like Trump's been doing over there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's happening here. So this is going to come back to bite Morrison, and he's going to be remembered as being the Trump Prime Minister of Australia. So history's not going to be very kind to him, but it'll be on our side one day, bro. I believe that.
Let's hope so, fingers crossed. Well, speaking of the Trump effect, I suppose it's here in Australia. It's alive and well, and it's popping its head up in the Grampians.
Yep.
With the
we saw it everywhere.
Yeah, and look, people are saying, you know, neo-Nazis are rising again here in Australia. They haven't gone anywhere. They've been here the whole time.
Exactly. That's why I laugh about this. But isn't it funny that under the last two prime ministers, right? That this is sort of, you know, they felt safe to come out in public a bit more under Abbott and under Morrison.
Mm.
There's been this rise of, you know, like we saw it at the Brisbane rally, you know, this bloke rock up with Australian flag and just stand there and just, you know, talk.
With a knuckle duster in his back pocket as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I was about to give him one, but the old Channel 7, daddy camera, put the camera on me, sir. Put the Kurima shirt away. but we saw it down in Sydney, you know, with this, you know, Gammon podcasters down there. Trying to bait people, you know, and he got the 1-2 Mount Druitt uppercut out there. And then we saw it down in Melbourne as well with the Proud Boys turning up. And, you know, there's a great photo of Celeste Little style, one of the hats, and
yes.
Posed up on Twitter with it, you know. And then we saw this stuff in the Grampians. But isn't it funny that they all don't show their faces? You know, they go and do that, but they won't, you know, they all got masks on, they all got their headwear on so they can't be identified. So, they're not that brave yet.
Well, one clown who did show his face was a YouTuber. And I was tossing up whether to say his name or not, give him airtime, but I think, you know, I will name him. His name is Luke Irwin, and he thought it'd be fun to stock up his van with cases of beer and drive down to Musgrave Park and hand them out to all and sundry, including children.
What an absolute goose.
Well, the police are well aware of it now because the local copper here in West End, he was featured in the video and it's been passed on to him. So this will be perhaps, you know, the end for hopefully for this Luke Irwin.
I hope they lock that clown up because honestly, I can understand, like, when it first happened, when you see the video, the mob's like, oh, someone's giving us free beer, so we'll run over. And it's just, you know, you can just see he's just being a racist, trying to bait people and, you know, just really... It's really dirty what he done. Just really yuck. You know, like...
Grubby.
And I know some footballers are mates with him, so they better call him out, some of these well-known NRL players that post some videos and stuff with him.
Well, I think Latrell Mitchell's been sliding in his DMs, so we'll watch this space.
Yeah, because, maybe he should come to one of our boxing tent matches there and see how he goes.
Mm.
You know, he does a bit of boxing, come to one of the boxing tent matches and let one of the brothers have a go with you. You know, we'll sort it out that way. But, you know, handing out grog to kids and just doing that really disgusting...
That's a cheap laugh.
For me.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to think he's funny and then he's going in his car and just doing that, talking absolute gunner. So,
yeah,
just bottom feeder, mate. Just an absolute bottom feeder. And it just goes to show, like, how much better we are as as a people. You know, I look at some Australians and go, God, geez, I'm lucky I'm Aboriginal. Yeah. They got no culture, they got no connection, they got no nothing, so they have to go to Musgrave Park and do things like this, you know, like...
That's sad. Very, very sad. And hopefully he gets his comeuppance. Luke Irwin, you're a clown. Pull your head in.
Yeah. 98.9's clown of the week.
Yeah.
Luke Irwin.
Yeah, you get it, sir. It's 9:36 here on Let's Talk. Look, a positive, a real positive has been the original 100, and I got so much feedback, and I'm sure you did as well, Danny, of how many people were listening and how much it meant to them, you know. Black and White, I think it's a countdown that plays a big part in showing, you know, the struggle and the pain and the ongoing pain for our artists.
Yeah, it's just such a beautiful thing to do on Invasion Day too. And such a, like, because our songs are our history, our stories, our true fight, and our artists, you know, I've always been such a fan of Aboriginal music and our musical community and the stories that they tell, but from way back to Uncle Vic, you know, seems to right up until now to my issue, you know, like, it's just such a beautiful thing, our music, and, I was really blown away. I don't know by the feedback, but to co-host with Rhianna Patrick too, a lot of people don't know, but that was the first time I ever met Rhianna. We've known each other probably 10 years online, but to be able to sit in the same room with her and just see her, see how professional she is.
Mm.
So I just stood there, I didn't say much at all really in the end because she's just such a dynamite and she really knows her history and her music and so much background to the stories that makes up our music. So, yeah, it's just a really, to come from Musgrave Park up into 98.9 to host that top 10, it's just kept a beautiful day for me, a beautiful Invasion Day.
And, of course, the original 100 is the perfect counter to what many are calling the whitest 100 on Triple J.
That was gammon.
Not a lot of our mob featured there. And when you think about the likes of Barker, Maisha, who you mentioned, you know, Baker Boy, all the amazing First Nations artists that we have in this country and, you know, I will give a shout-out to Fred Leone who popped up in there. But, you know, he was very, very, very white and beige.
Yeah, look, I listened to both the hottest 100 and the 200 as research for the original 100, now Gammon. But just before Christmas, I had a bit of a catch-up with Leah Flanagan, the musician and famous artist, and she does a lot of work in the industry through APRA and setting up the national Aboriginal body within APRA that she's running. And we were having a chat. We sent up some stuff this year around sort of music journalism, but 2020 was such an amazing year for our artists, right? Like breakout artists and the Kid Laroi, you got Tasman Keith,
who Dobby.
Dobby, Barker, Maisha, Rebecca Hatch, the list goes on and on, right? And then you got our legacy artists, as Rhianna talks about, and our established artists, you know, and Thelma Plum, man, like, you know, and so I was like, damn, we're gonna get a lot of people in the top 200, like 100 and top 200, but I was so disappointed. Like, they were saying there were six, two we'd never heard of, or like, you can't tell that they're Aboriginal because if you Google them, it doesn't say anything about their indigeneity anywhere. They only had four songs, and then some of the ones that we thought would get in, just didn't get even mentioned, like, you know, my issue got seven ARIA noms and won one, but yeah, never got in the hottest 100. And then same with Tasman Keith, who just had a massive year last year. So he was really disappointing. I was a bit deflated from it. It was great to see Birds and Freddie get in there. They come in the highest at number 30 with their hip hop song about their culture and that up there, Bachelor Mob.
Mm.
But other than that, it was very dry. So that. Be able to kick it over to the original 100, original 100. Just fill my cup back up again.
100%. Well, we're going to play it. It's the top 10 right now for everyone who missed it. And of course, if you like the music, support the artist, buy their music, And what I loved about the top 10 as well, it's a perfect reflection of our listeners, I think, that we get those legacy artists and some of the newer ones as well, Danny. It's a great thing.
Yeah, you got young people voting, you got elders voting. I think there's probably some young people voting for their grandmothers and grandfathers too, which would be cute as. But, yeah, it's just a little diverse sort of top 10, a bit like our community.
100%. Danny Tease Johnson from the Courier Mail. Love you, brother. Thank you so much.
Love you too. 98.9 anytime.
You're tuned to the Original 100 right here on your First Nations station. With your hosts, Rhianna Patrick and Danny Tease Johnson. We're counting down the top 10 of the 2021 Original 100 right here on 98.9 FM, Murray Country.
Hello, and thank you for joining us, Danny.
Rhianna.
We are up to the pointy end, as they say, of the countdown. And haven't there been some great just tracks so far over the day?
Just pure black excellence, just from every community, from every nation represented. It's just been a wonderful day to celebrate black music.
It has, and I think we've had a bit of everything, really. We've had a bit of old school, some of our legacy artists popping up in there. We've had some of the new school coming in, and I don't know about you, but each year I think we tune into the top 10 and we're like, what is it going to be? What is going to be number one? Yep. Will it be a legacy song? Will it be an emerging artist? Who will get up? And I think the top 10 is going to surprise us yet again for another year.
I think it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be pretty crazy. It's going to represent, I think, a lot of our history music, the legacy music that you talk about. But as I said before, like 2020 was such a magic year for many of our artists and so many new and upcoming artists and even some of our more established artists. So I just think it's just an amazing year to celebrate music and storytelling, and I think we're seeing that here today.
And I think you're right that the breadth and depth of what was released in 2020 by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists was probably a year that I didn't expect much from because of everything that was happening, but I think it turned into a really bumpy year. I think there was some great releases, and let's see what happens in the top 10 of how many of that 2020 year we get to see.
You know, everyone in lockdown last year, and I think it gave people more time to think maybe and really reflect on their music and their storytelling and what they wanted to put out there. And I think a lot of our artists did that, and I think a lot of them paid homage to our old legends and brought that forward. So, yeah, we're just going to, yeah, I can't wait to see what unfolds in the next hour or two.
Well, should we start kicking off the top 10? And this is number 10.
Hey, Troy here on the Original 100. Shadows on the Hill is a family story that started around our campfire. It was one I felt really, really driven to share with everyone. And here it is, Shadows on the Hill.
See shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill. I see shadows on the ground where the bones don't make no sound, hidden so they can be found. I see shadows on the ground. On the old Glen Innes Road, where the great man river flows, men, women, children slain, buried up there on that range. I woke up in the dead of night, saw two men in the firelight. They had scars across their chest, said their spirits cannot rest. They spoke to me in tongue, I answered back at very once. Never spoke that way before, I am not a man by long. But I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill. where the catfish makes its ring and the birds refuse to sing. Voices follow family lines as they whisper through the pines. And around the granite stones, they'll forever be alone. Their killers got off free, but their shadows never leave. I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill.
Don't know this, but this song was written by two non-Aboriginal people, and a dear friend of ours, Dan Warner, who is the head or the lead singer of the Warner Brothers, a Melbourne band down here, first known as the Warner Brothers, then later on Overnight Jones, because of Warner Brothers in America hit them with a lawsuit, so they couldn't use their own name, bless them. Anyway, so he wrote the words and passed them to Titters, and well, actually he passed them to Sal Dasty, in the Titters, and she wrote the music and of course the melody, and we found it quite ironic that here it is, "Don't Sing Me Your Anthem, because your anthem's absurd. Words are hard to remember when they mean nothing at all to the hordes who are still waiting for their voice to be heard," is being written by two white fellas and given to, you know, an Indigenous identified group to sing, and that was penned, I think that was around about 95. It might have been 94, 95, and it appears on our self-titled album, Titters, produced by Joe Camilleri. Probably one of the first albums that we produced that was very well produced specifically for radio. Here we are, you know, a young band in the midst, right sort of in the middle of our career, 95, and, singing about the absurdity of the flag, the absurdity of the anthem and the words, and the absurdity of Australia Day, and how gut-wrenching it is for so many of us, on these particular days. I pretty much shut down, and we do a smoking and take care of our souls on that day. I call my mum, we have a cry, we think about our ancestors, but we also celebrate how much we have and how we've survived and that we're still here and that it's 250 years of resistance. So for us, that song, we claimed it, even though it was written by non-Aboriginal people and our comrades and our family, who we consider our family. And, we celebrate that and claim it and give that voice to the rest of our mob.
Nice. Don't sing me an anthem, 'cause you don't know the words. Words are hard to remember when they mean nothing at all to the hearts who're still waiting for their voice to be heard. Don't sing me your anthem when your anthem's absurd. Beautiful, but it cannot be called fair. So don't sing me your anthem to be hard. Don't sing me your anthem when your anthem's absurd. Don't sing me your anthem when your anthem's absurd. Don't sing me your anthem when your anthem's absurd. Don't sing me your anthem.
Coming in at number 9 on the original 100 here on 98.9 FM, that is Anthem from Titus, a group who actually, Danny, I don't know if you know this, they forgot to turn up to their big first day out, big day out outing that they had.
Was they on Blackfella time?
They just didn't know they were supposed to be there, really? In 1993 and got this phone call apparently. But interesting, a song like that, which we were just talking about how relevant that song is still mm-hmm. today,
yep.
but also a song which they just described being written by two non-Indigenous people,
yep.
and a song that they weren't even sure when they first sang it whether the audience would respond, like what way the audience was going to go. So, yeah,
it's really interesting. Like, it just hit me when we heard the song Anthem, and then it's like, how relevant is this today? The debate's going on with, you know, our dear Prime Minister who, you know, keeps bringing up the anthem and, you know, this change the anthem, change the debate, abolish the anthem, abolish the date, and it's just so relevant. And it's just magical that Titus sung this back in 1993 or 92?
No, it was 93 that they had to be at Big Day Out.
Okay, yeah.
But this is a song from, yeah, the 90s.
It's
an oldie but a goodie, let's be honest. And coming in at number 10 as part of kicking off that top 10 of the original 100, Troy Cassidaly with Shadows on the Hill. Look,
we're heading
up to number 8 now. Danny?
Yep. Just a quick shout out to Troy Cassidaly with Shadows on the Hill. I was just telling a story before, but what he did at the Country Music Awards last year when he got the Aboriginal dancers to come through, and he told this old story that he heard from his elders around his local tribe and all that. It was just beautiful. So just a shout out to you, Troy, and also stop being such a nice guy, bro, making us all look bad out here, you know? Like, we're trying to step it up, bro. We're trying. But, yeah, shout out to you, Troy, and your storytelling, what you do in country music for our mob. We absolutely appreciate it.
Nicest man in country, hands down.
Yep.
Hands down. But number 8, a band that, well, I'm a fan, but I know that you're definitely a fan.
I'm definitely a fan of this. An old anthem for me. You know, I remember, can I just say before we throw to it, I remember Nookie, so he's a hip-hop artist, singing this in Tea Tree, which is 3 hours north of Alice Springs, about 6 years ago. It was one of the most beautiful collaborations I've ever seen. But for all the black boys out there, and especially my brothers in jail, this goes out to you, Colourstone, Black Boy.
Colourstone music, honestly, especially Black Boy, it inspired, you know, more Aboriginal boys, and not only Aboriginal boys, but non-Indigenous, you know, non-Aboriginal kids in this country too. For music, because, you know, it's a really powerful song and a very catchy song, you know, the colour of your skin, you should fight and joy, you know, sticks and song, break your bond, but man, it's a song that really lifts lots of kids and, you know, even boys and girls today, they love the song. And, you know, if I go to the community and I see somebody, parents will come up, look, I'm bringing my 3-year-old kiddie and he's going to sing that, sure enough, he's singing that song word for word, can you believe? Right up in front of them, unbelievable. Still singing them, and it's going on, 40 years have gone. Black Boy came out more than 40 years ago.
Hey, it's number 8 on the original 100.
Your pride and your the thing was, it was, you know, Paulie Shelley came up, he brought his little son up, and he wanted, we took him down on a big water hole, we camped, and it was pretty close to Brisbane, actually, the big water hole. It was Wivenhoe Dam, actually, and I just had a little chord progression on the mandolin I was mucking around on, and then I switched it to a banjo. And then he got a bit interested, and he always had this thing, he reckons, in his head about this beautiful love thing that he from this small thing, you and I, darling, we it's become a very big thing. And anyway, we got talking, and in the finish, it turned out a cultural love song, because as drovers and stockmen and that in the 1950s and 60s, we knew a hell of a lot of those drovers that come across the Northern Territory, you know, down the Diamond Tina and the Georgina River there from Tamworth, you and Dangy, they come down south, out Kulpi way, and then we bring the cattle in sort of along the Roma rail line and that, and they take them to the Roma sale yards or the Derby sale yards and stuff, and we had tons of work them days, and yeah, I told him about this. My mum, the only connection we had to the outside world was an old dry cell battery radio. And we'd run an aerial up a tree. And I remember coming in one night on the camp, and mum saying to us all, gee, that your Indy mob just walked off Vesty Station up there. So, you know, what we said, what, they've gone on strike? He said, yeah. She said, they've gone on strike. And we thought, holy bloody hell, what's going to happen here? And then it just built. It was amazing. It brought, you know, the non-Indigenous Australia together with it, you know. Old Brian Manning and that, you know, the Wharfies and the unions took up a collection of money and stuff and took the first rations down. And it was... It brought Australia together. It wasn't the first strike. It wasn't the first strike, but it was one that really lasted. We listened to the ABC radio every night. We thought, God, they're going to either bullet them, they're going to shoot them, or they're going to put them in the jail. They'll be looking out through the pigeonhole. There's something will happen here big time. But it was just the whole of Australia sort of got behind it. And it took claiming 8 or 9 years, but finally they made a dent with it. And it just shows the positivity. If you hang out on your principles, it'll work. My name's Kemp Carmody, and you mob are very, very privileged because you're listening to the original 100.
Seven.
Long story, power and pride, the British Lord Vesty, the Vincent Lingari, were opposite men on opposite sides.
Vesty was fat with money and muscle, beef was his business, broad was his dough. Vincent was lean, spoke very little. He had no bank balance, our dirt was his floor.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Gurindji were working, nothing but rations. Once they had gathered the wealth of the land, depression got tighter and tighter. Gurindji decided they must make a stand.
They picked up their swags, started off walking at Wadi Creek. They sat themselves down. Now it don't sound like much, but it sure got tongues talking back at the homestead and then in the town.
Little things, big things grow.
said, I'll double your wages, $7 a week you have in your hand. Vincent said, uh-uh, we're not talking about wages, we're sitting right here till we get our land.
Bestie man roared, bestie man thundered, you don't stand a chance of a cinder in snow. Vincent, if we fall, others arising.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Then Vincent Lingyari, he boarded an airplane, landed in Sydney, big city of lights. Daily he went round, softly speaking his story to all kinds of men from all walks of life.
Vincent sat down with them big politicians. This affair, they told him, it's a matter of state. Let us sort it out. Why are people hungry? Vincent said, no thanks. We know how to wait.
From little things, big things grow.
Then Vincent Lingyari returned in an airplane back to his country, once more to sit down. He told his people, let the stars keep on turning. We have friends in the south, in the cities and towns.
Eight years went by, eight long years of waiting, to one day a tall stranger appeared in the land. Came with great ceremony, through Vincent's fingers, poured a handful of sand down.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. That was the story of Vincent Lingyari. This is the story much more. Our power and privilege cannot move a people. Nowhere they stand, and they stand in their law. From little things, big things grow. 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 From little things.
That's Uncle Kev Carmody featuring Paul Kelly, and obviously backing vocals there from Titus and From Little Things, Big Things Grow. I'm Brianna Patrick. Also with me is Danny Tees Johnson. Danny.
How was that?
Oh, my gosh. Just amazing. Like, one of the things I didn't realise about Black Boy from Coloured Stone, which did come in at number 8, mm-hmm. was that song in 1984. I mean, there were 120 copies sold of that single. Can you imagine that back in the day? I never knew that.
120
copies. 120,000
copies. 120,000?
120,000 copies of that single that was sold. And their Human Love album from Coloured Stone was the album that got them the first ever ARIA Best Indigenous Album in 1986, when that became a category.
Wow.
Yeah, so there you go.
Back in the early 80s, back when the LA Olympics were on.
Lots of stuff happening. I remember watching that film clip on Rage back in the day as well.
Yeah, right.
The Black Boy.
You know your knowledge, hey?
What do you mean?
You know your knowledge. Like, it's amazing. All these facts. Damn. I should have done my research, peoples.
Coloured Stone coming in at number 8, and Uncle Kev Carmody and Paul Kelly coming in at number 7.
Well, what a couple of iconic songs.
Oh, right. And, you know, we really should say that Original 100 today, I mean, you went across to the march, Danny.
Mm.
You know, organisers doing a great job over there in making sure that people were COVID safe. And it was a hot day.
Yeah, look, it was hot. I was sweating like a brass monkey on a Saturday. But I'll tell you what, the organisers out there have done such an amazing job. It's probably the most COVID-safe event I've ever seen in the last sort of year and a half since we've had COVID, or year, sorry. But everyone was masked up. It was just such a peaceful, empowering rally. So many people there. I don't know what the numbers were. People talking about 5,000, maybe more. I think there was more. But, you know, to War, to Bo Spearham and to Ruby Wharton and all the organisers out there and, you know, all the volunteers and especially a lot of non-Indigenous mob. I went down the hall this morning at about 7 o'clock. They're making sandwiches, soups, packing up drinks for all the elders and all the mob, and just everyone took part. So it was just such a beautiful day, and, yeah, they deserve a lot of respect and a lot of, you know, gratitude for what they've done for our mob here today to be able to, you know, express ourselves and voice our opinions on this, you know, very interesting date.
Yeah, and we should say probably a big thank you also to your employer, Courier Mail, who has sponsored the top 10.
Yeah, they sponsored the top 10, the Courier Mail, you know, with the voice of Black Australia, and we've just got such a great team there. So shout out to Nay, our halfback, I'm not allowed to call the boss, and Rudy, our editor, the 5'8". But yeah, they sponsored me. They let me come up here to take part in, you know, not only be part of the rally today, but be part of this original 100 with 98.9 and yourself from Indigenous X. Just such a mad thing being a part of Black media.
It is, but also Courier Mail celebrating a birthday this year, so bigger things still to come this year for the big celebrations of Courier Mail.
30 years of the Courier Mail, and a lot of people out there will know, but a lot of young people won't know that we were bought out of the Royal Deaths. Yeah, the Death in Custody Report back in 1981, and that's how a lot of black media was born, so certainly the Courier Mail. And so we're honouring that legacy. We're 30 years old, and it's just, you know, it's great for our communities and for our people that we've had this paper that's been independent and, you know, really leading the way in storytelling and represent communities, I think. So, yeah, it's magic to be a part of it.
And it's so good to see you guys still around and still doing it and still doing it strong.
We're flying. Mm-hmm. Like, we peaked during COVID, so we're one of the last, like, print, you know, magazines like Murdoch Folded, News Limited and whatnot. So, you know, the Courier Mail is flying, and it's just such a humble place to work as a black journo. Like, I write for people in jail. That's what I think about. You know, I write for people that can't afford to go and buy the Courier Mail. You know, some of them can't read and write. You know, so this is the people that I work for, and this is the people I tell stories for, and it's just a beautiful, humble feeling. And I know, you know, you've made a bit of a move yourself back into black independent media, and it's just such a humble and beautiful feeling working for our mob.
Oh, it is. It's definitely, you know, the thing that keeps you going when you are going through those tough times, particularly when you work for a mainstream media organisation.
Yep.
And thankfully, I don't anymore. I've come back.
Yeah.
You know, I consider
back to the dark side.
I do, and I consider it, you know, coming home in a way. And it was always the end goal for what I wanted to do. But the reason I do it is because we still need a voice.
Yep.
And that voice is particularly important, and it's why the voices of our art are just as important as well when it comes back to the original 100. And I think we're kicking it up. I feel like this is where we're going to kick it up a little bit. So get ready to dance, get ready to shake it out, I think. Get ready to turn it up loud because, yeah, we're Rumpy Band.
6. As long as you are a true fella. Advance Australia Fair has been the national anthem for 35 years, which white people think is a really long time. But today, I want to help you understand what the Australian anthem sounds like when black fellas listen to it. All right, let's kick it. I mean, please be upstanding.
Australians are...
Children in Northern Territory detention are Aboriginal, and we are the most incarcerated people on earth. We don't feel particularly free. And as for young, we've been here for 80,000 years, but I guess we don't look a day over 60,000. See, we don't see much of that wealth. Only one in 10 of us are financially secure. And as for the soil, don't even get me started. Wait, whose land?
Our land.
You see, that just reminds us that it was our land before our home was girt by you lot. History's page looks good to you because you wrote it. In our version of history, you don't even turn up until the last paragraph. In a pretty shocking twist ending. Play that white music, funky boy. Uh-oh, here we go. Second verse in the mix. Let's get a real-time translation. Tattoos. See, we're still fighting for $500 million in stolen wages. So we did the toil part, but we're still waiting for the paycheck. I guess it's in the mail. All of you. Let's hold up there. Sharing? We can't even share our opinion about a song without the whole country freaking out. And that's why when it's played, some of us don't feel like standing up or singing along. Now let's bring it home. If you want. No thanks. Song sucks.
This is number 5.
You can call it what you want, but it just don't mean a thing. No, it just don't mean a thing.
Fuck that, homie.
You can come and wave your flag, but it don't mean a thing to me. No, it just don't mean a thing.
Fuck that, homie.
I said, hey, Briggs, pick a date.
Okay.
You know I'm wrong, we can celebrate.
For sure.
But we can come together, yeah. Talk about the weather, call that Australia Day. I said, how about March 8th?
That's a good one.
And we can do it on your nan's grave.
Like
we can piss up, piss on his face, get lit up and burn out like Mark Skates. The screaming love wouldn't leave it. I got more reason to be a riff, you can believe it. Watch the loot of constitutional, who's underneath it? Turn that flag to a noose, put a cease to your breathing. I can't. I get a ticket fed up, I get a DWB, and that's a drop in my sprint. I turn the other cheek, I get a knife on my back, and I tell them it hurts, they say I overreact. So fuck that. You can call it what you want, but it just don't mean a thing. No, it just don't mean a thing.
Go down, homie.
You can come and wave your flag, but it don't mean a thing to me. No, it just don't mean a thing.
I said celebrate the heretic. Time outside Jan 26. That's the day for them suckers doing that fucking dish. That's that land taking, flag waving attitude. Got this new pattern cook dance to show you how to move. How you wanna raise a flag with a rifle that make us wanna celebrate anything but survival? Nah, you watching telly for The Bachelor, but wouldn't read a book about a offload of massacres. I remember all the blood of my characters. They remember 20 recipes for Lamingtons. Yeah, their ancestors got a boat ride. Both minds saw them coming until they both died. I'll celebrating days made of misery. Why I still got the black history. And that shirt will get you banned from the parliament. If you ain't having the conversation, well then we starting it.
You can call it what you want, but it just don't mean a thing. No, it just don't mean a thing.
How's that, man?
Original, featuring Dan Sultan with January 26, and a group which actually used to hold the record for the highest entry of an Indigenous artist in the Hottest 100.
Yes, that's right.
That then got blown out by Thelma Plum last year, who cracked the top 20 and now the highest Indigenous artist to make it into that that countdown.
Yes.
But coming in at number 5 there on the original 100. And also before that, the Rumpy Band at number 6 with Black Fella, White Fella.
What an anthem, Black Fella, White Fella.
Oh,
my God.
Just give me those guitars all day.
I'm sweating here. I've just been jumping around for like 2 songs. But, yeah, Black Fella, White Fella. Can I just say shout out to all the White Fella mob out there listening and participating in our day-to-day. Like, I was happy today, like, you know, like people... You know, we're woke and we're good and, you know, did the right thing by us today and got out of the way and just let us do our thing on Invasion Day. So all the white fellas that participated, all the ones that are listening, my little friend down there, Amy Newcastle, like, you know, we respect and appreciate you guys, like, coming with us today and, you know, not going to the Australia Day events but coming to our Invasion Day events because that's where the truth lies, my people.
Yeah, and look, we're getting into sort of getting down to the final 4 of the original 100 still... couple of great tunes to come. I'm feeling it. There's something more to come. I feel like we're getting there. We've kicked it up. We've had a little dance number there in the section. And I think we're about to just kick it down a notch, take a little calm, take a little space. And
just a little chill.
Another chill. But this time with, I think, what is really, it's a classic, another classic from the Warumpi Band.
It's about that the singer, my brother-in-law, who passed away, and the song was written about his island home, Elbow Island, and I just heard Jarboy from Solomon Islands recorded, so good, singing in his language and in English. So even it's good for Christian Arnold to sing that too. It's not about Warumpi Band did the best version of Island Home. No, it's about all things together, making sure that in music you don't judge people, you know, you enjoy. See, if you go, whether you're black or white, it shows that Island Home is a song that it means Australia too. For the white people, they always say, look, I've been to overseas, but Island Home is making me feel like going back home to Australia.
Number 3.
6 years I've been in the desert, and every night I dream of the sea. They say home is where you find it. Will this place ever satisfy me? For I come from the song for a people.
Then
deep shoulder action happening here right now, Danny Wright.
And just he dislocated it. Nearly dislocated it.
Takes you back to that 90s, the 90s vibe.
90s flows, that yes. R&B sound.
Oh, oh. And an artist who did win the ARIA for Best R&B.
Yeah, she won Best ARIA for everything as far as I'm concerned. But
I know you did.
What a breakout year from my Isha. Shout out to you.
If had the ARIAs, how would that look? Everyone winning.
Yep, yep. Call the Black ARIAs, the Blarias, whatever you want to call it.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
98 point, we can run it.
Yeah. Well, that's Maisha on the Original 100 with Black Privilege coming in at number 3. And before that, Rumpy Band at number 4 with My Island Home, a classic. Now, something that I've just had, a bit of a sneaky look on the Twitters, and it seems that Archie Roach is trending because he's currently performing at the Shed Spirit Festival.
I was going to say, he never got arrested, did he?
No. He's on stage, and the outpouring of love, which I love to see. Yeah. I always love to see when Uncle Archie is trending on Twitter particularly, and you always know it's because he's performing somewhere and people are just loving what's happening. So I'm wondering, will we see, do you think, Archie?
I don't think he'll be in the top 10 at all.
Really?
No, not Ooh. Uncle Archie. He wouldn't make it.
I don't know. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to go, you know, with these. We've got should we go to number two and then we'll hold off on number one and have some suspense.
I think so. I think we need a little break just to break it up. But you know what? I reckon you look better in black.
And I think you're right. Better in Black from Thelma Plum, number 2 in the Original.
Congrats, Ellie Plum. Gomeroi girl, black excellence right there.
Yeah, and you're right, I do look better
you
in black.
Look great
you
in black.
Also look better in black.
Thank you, my tether.
I feel like there was an unofficial uniform because we're all wearing black. Yeah.
Right?
Look at that. Dan Rennie also bringing
Dan
a bit
Rennie.
Of work.
Shout out to producer over here, Dan
thanks
Rennie.
Thanks to Dan. Big thanks to Dan.
Thanks for organising the original 100. You and Jai and the rest of the crew here and getting me and the lovely Rihanna Patrick to
That's
come
right,
along and
host this.
That's
right, because we have never been in the same room together ever.
No.
Isn't that weird?
Many conference calls. We've judged a lot of awards together. We have never physically seen each other until now.
Like, we host a radio show together. I know her for years. We've just never been face-to-face.
Well, that's right.
We were doing COVID social distancing before it was a thing.
That's right.
You invented it.
Yeah.
That's right. But, you know, original 100, now nearly at number one.
Okay, I'm losing it.
I have to say, Original 100 is probably one of my favourite events to look forward to every year. I love Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander music, but you don't have to stop your support here. Your support can go on.
Yep.
You can support a number of different ways. Listening to this station, 98.9 FM, is one way to keep supporting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists, creators, broadcasters. Mm-hmm. You know, there's also a number of Spotify playlists that are now, you know, supporting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists curated by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So, you know, check those out if you're on Apple or on Spotify. A number of ways to do that. But I guess the big one, just you have to support.
Yeah, get in and vote. Like the original 100 is such a beautiful and empowering black concept and it really pays tribute to our artists and, you know, not only today's artists but yesterday's artists, the legacy artists that you so passionately talk about, which is such a beautiful thing. So really get in behind this original 100 concept, get involved in it, vote in it because your votes matter. You know, if you want your artist that might be sitting number 22 that could be up at number 2 instead of, you know, down there, you know, you've got to vote you mob, like get your communities together and, you know, get some campaigns going, get behind your favourite artist and really vote and get behind this original 100 because it's such a beautiful concept and we need to take this over on Jan 26 every year.
Agreed. Well, should we just go there? What is number one? Should we go there, Danny?
Just take it then.
Okay.
Should we?
Yeah, let's go there. This is your number one for the original 100 of 2021.
Hey, you're up. This is Archie Roach. So proud to have Tuts to Marae, the number one song, voted on the original 100. And have you listening and, thinking about today, you know, and what that means to use and, how we sort of navigate the day on the 26th of January, because we know that it's not a good day for the country to celebrate, you know, and we need to include everybody, and unfortunately I haven't been able to do that, or something, you know, some sort of recognition about the first people, you know, ask mob. But, you know, we can get together and, like I'm going to do a song today. But by chance, took the children away today at down here in Melbourne. I say that we're getting together just so, yeah, we call them a share the spirit. And it's just going to be, you know, just us, mob, just thinking about us and what the day means to us.
This story's right, this story's true. I would not tell lies to you, like the promises they did not keep, and how they fenced us in like sheep, said to us, come take our heed, set us up on mission aid, told us to read, to write and pray. Then they took the children, children away, the children away, snatched from their mother's breast, said this is for the best, took them away, wealth and the police came, said you've got to understand, we'll give to them what you can't give. Children away, breaking down my
9 FM, that is your number one on the original 100.
Congrats, Uncle Archie.
Uncle Archie Roach took the children away. And if you did miss the top 10, just recapping it, number 10 was Troy Cassidaly with Shadows on the Hill. At number 9, Titus with Anthem.
Then we had Coloured Stone with Black Boy and Kev Carmody with Paul Kelly from Big Things, Little Things Grow.
Coming in at number 6 was Rumpy Band, Black Fella, White Fella, followed at number 5 by AB Original featuring Dan Sultan with January 26.
Number 4, Rumpy Band with My Island Home. And at number 3, Congratulations by Isha with Black Privilege.
Number 2 was Thelma Plum with Better in Black. And number 1, Archie Roach with Took the Children Away.
Yeah, always number 1, Arch, always.
Yeah, I look at Dan here, and look, I just want to thank you guys, Danny and Rihanna, for being a part of the original 100 this year. It's been a pleasure to have you both from your respective, amazing community works that you do, and Corey Mail, and of course Indigenous X as well. So on behalf of all of us here at 98.9 FM, I want to send a special cheerio to you guys, being here.
How good is it, black media, independent media coming together? We've got Indigenous X, 98.9 and Corey Mail, and you know, there's so many brother and sister orgs out there, and just we love working together. Look what we can do.
That's right. And the thing is, though, that we have to support what we do.
Yep.
We have to support that, because in order to make change in this country, we have to have our own media. And that's the only way that our voice is going to get out. I spent 18 and a half years working for a mainstream media organisation. I thought that was the way to
don't
make
work, eh?
It doesn't. It doesn't, you know. And you, you can try all you want, and that's not taking away, because there are people in there who are also trying to do that job. But it is hard. And when you get out of the other side, you realise that we can only make change by supporting what we have and growing what we have and growing the capacity to be able to do what we need to do. And so things like Original 100 are so important about supporting, because it's about trying to change. You know, it's trying to change things in a meaningful way. It's trying to support our people in a different way, trying to support our artists in a different way. But you've just hit the nail on the head there, Danny, that, you know, independent black media is what this country needs more of, not less.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're proud to be a part of it. Of course, this Original 100 wouldn't be possible without the help of a lot of people. I want to thank our CEO, of course, Jai Lawton, our social media helpers today. There's been a few of them.
And you're pumping them out before we even introduced them.
Great job.
You know, big thanks to Tari, who's pumping the socials, and, of course, our producers, Paul Watts and Coy and Jaden, who played a big part in all of the grabs that you heard throughout the day. Jill here on the camera doing a terrific job.
Yeah, nice
Jill.
Nice work, Jill.
Rocking it barefoot too. I love
school
it.
Corey Mail.
Yeah. and of course, everybody voted and tuned in today. People from right around the world will be getting messages from all over. And I want to send a special cheerio to a good friend of mine listening in Canada. She's been listening since the very beginning this morning. You know how you are. You're deadly. Thank you. And again, thanks everyone for listening. Hope you enjoyed the Original 100. We're back next January 26th to do it all again.